Let's turn to our scripture reading in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. We'll read through the whole chapter, verses 1 through 16. And God's people, these are God's words, so let's give our full attention to the living and true God. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us, we have wronged no man, we have corrupted no man, we have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and live with you. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge, in all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for his cause that had done the wrong, not for his cause that suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. Therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. For if I have boasted anything to him of you, I am not ashamed. But as we spake all things to you in truth, even so our boasting, which I made before Titus, is found a truth. And his inward affection is more abundant toward you, whilst he remembereth the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling he received him. I rejoice, therefore, that I have confidence in you in all things. And those are God's words. You go back to the beginning of the chapter. It begins with an exhortation to push on to holiness in our hearts and our lives. There in verse 1, then through verse 11, the troubles that were with Paul and those around him, and yet the comfort that was brought to them because the church in Corinth, from the time of the first letter that was sent to them, 1 Corinthians, unto this time, they had repented. The church had repented. Friends, your repentance, here we see, brings comfort to others. When we repent, others in the church are comforted. When we hear of our brothers and sisters in Christ repenting of their sins, when churches are repenting of their sins, turning to Christ, that brings comfort to us all as well. And it seems here that that incestuous man in 1 Corinthians who had been with his mother, you remember earlier in 2 Corinthians we saw that he had repented. But here, Paul is comforted that the church and their handling of that man in 1 Corinthians, you remember as they were addressed as well, their handling of the man, they had repented as well. And so it seems it's the case. Verse 12, it says, he says there, I did it not for his cause that had done the wrong. Right? He had not done, I did it not for his cause, but for the comfort of the church. Verse 13, therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. Why? Because they had repented. And so Titus was refreshed. So when Titus comes back to Paul and the others with Paul, they're refreshed. And so, friends, we ought to be those who are quick to repent, even as a church. And in part, we ought to seek to comfort one another by being those who repent of our sins personally and corporately, that we might be the occasion the Lord uses to bring forth joy in the hearts of His people. You see here as well in verse 10, something for this evening as well as we'll hear in Luke's Gospel. There's a distinction here between the godly sorrow and the sorrow of the world. Sorrow of the world leads to death, works death. But godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. And that is not to be repented of. A sorrow that's not to be repented of. A godly sorrow. And that's the sorrow we must have in Christ, even as we'll see in a few moments. Let's pray and seek the Lord's face in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the comfort that you give to your church, your people, because of the comfort we have in others, that you work in their lives. We're thankful when you work repentance. Yet often we find ourselves as the prideful people who need to repent. And Father, I pray that you would make us to be humble, that we'd be apt to repent, apt to turn from our sins, apt to seek forgiveness from our neighbor, our brother and sister in Christ. And as a church, if we have sinned against you, we pray that you would lead us unto repentance, a corporate repentance, that instead of being offended, we would be comforted. Instead of others being offended by our repentance, they would be comforted. And they would take joy in Christ your Son. Father, we pray that you would lead us to also, as we think of repentance, lead us to be those who forgive, as we learn in the Lord's Prayer, to forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. So make us to be a people who forgive our debtors, those who have sinned against us. Father, make us to be a forgiving people as we contemplate and learn from you how to forgive. Apt to forgive even the most wicked and wretched sinner against us. You forgive, and so we must forgive. And so, Father, teach us your ways and grow us in not only repentance but forgiveness. Grant us the comfort that you speak of here, the peace, and also the joy in Christ your Son. Of all these things, forgiveness, repentance, comfort, none of them, even a joy, none of them are possible without the gospel of Jesus Christ. We plead for a godly sorrow. Not a worldly sorrow where we are sorry for our guilt, because we're guilty, but true sorrow over our sins in view of the immeasurable goodness and grace of you and Christ your Son. And so, Father, teach us of your forgiveness and the need for our repentance, even this evening, by the blood of your Son, the blood that cleanses and washes clean. Father, this evening we do pray for the repentance of those who are members of this congregation, those who have publicly turned from you. We think of the gardeners who are under church discipline and censure. Father, we desire their repentance. How comforted and how much joy there would be if we saw that they would repent of their sins and return to you and to your bride, the church. We would be greatly comforted. We would rejoice. It would probably be proper to have a celebration and rejoice in you for how you have worked in sinners who have rebelled against you. Father, pray for John McQuash, how you have given opportunity to speak to him, and yet he doesn't want to speak anymore about the gospel, about the things of God. And Father, our hearts are broken about that and crushed. And John has been with us a long time, and yet now in rebellion against you and seeking after false gods instead of the one and true living God in Christ your Son. Father, we desire that he would repent. Send your Spirit that he would. And Father, we would be comforted and rejoice. And Father, there's another who also doesn't want to be with us, working too much and would rather work and stay away from the church. And that's caused conflict in marriage. And Father, we pray that you would bring him to repentance as well, that we would be comforted and rejoice in Christ your Son, for your grace and your mercy. And yet we acknowledge that we could be just like them. We're not far from it at all. All we would need to do is rebel against you and walk away. It takes very little energy to turn from you. And so, Father, we pray that you would spur us on in hope with the strength needed to continue, to the grace by your Spirit to keep putting on the armor of God, your armor that you grant to us, righteousness, faith, peace, salvation, the Word, all these things. Father, that you would protect us from the evil one and the temptations that would lead us to hell and rebellion against you. And so we plead that you would not allow us to fall away, but that you would cause us to walk in good works wrought by your Spirit and by your grace. And you would grant us greater faith today than we had yesterday. That where we believe, help our unbelief. That we would not be like those on the rocky soil, but on the good and rich soil, with deep roots in Christ your Son, in the Word, and being fruitful by your Spirit. Father, we pray for the upcoming move for our congregation, that you would bless all the preparation and work that's going into that. The relationship with that congregation there at Southview would go well, and we would have no conflicts. I pray that you would even, through us being there, bring about not only our sanctification, but their sanctification. You would bring reformation to not only our church, but theirs. And that you would work in us all the truth. That we would be united as we look forward to that day when we will all be united. Those who believe in Christ your Son. The church will be united as one in Christ in the truth. And we look forward to that day now. And so make it come about little by little. And pour out your Holy Spirit. As we heard, I believe last Lord's Day, the need for reformation in the church and for us. Father, we are not perfect at all in our worship, in our prayers, in our hearing, in our partaking of the supper, in our singing your praises. We are not perfect in any of these things. And so, Father, reform us. Send your Spirit and send a revival. Send the Spirit in power to change hearts, to believe unto salvation, not only here, but throughout the world and throughout our nation. That the churches would be full and not empty. And the churches would be full where the gospel is proclaimed. And all those churches where the gospel is not proclaimed would be brought down to ruin or reformed. And so bring to life the dead. The bones, the dead and dry bones to walk to life. And you pour forth that grace that is necessary for our salvation and for all your elect. May you bless your people this evening. Strengthen us in our faith by your grace and by your Spirit, knowing that you are present with us. We are present with you as our hearts are lifted up to you in the holy places before the throne. As we partake of the sacrament, as even now we worship you. Lord, let your presence be known by us from our hearts. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.